good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I am your host, Robert Pilot. That's my taxpayer name, and along with me is Wendy Pilot, and we have Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith, Solar Bear, on today, and of course, Wendy with her sacred Native sacred animal section. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliance Energy, powering beyond.
Awesome. So, hey, we got Ogama with the news, and it's news you don't hear anywhere else. So why don't we just get going with Ogama? Welcome, Ogama.
Bonjour, Anine, everybody. I am Ogama Ganuakwe, and I am coming at you from the center of Minnesota. I am an enrolled member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. My name, Ogama Ganuakwe, means strong golden eagle woman. And as always, I bring you the news here on Native Roots Radio. I usually start with news about Line 3, and I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. But it is that time of year, everybody. Grants, scholarships, and surveys are open all across Turtle Island. The LIFT Award, which is Early Career Support for Native Artists, is open right now, and it provides support to early career Native artists with one-year awards to develop and realize new projects. The program's focus is to provide financial support and professional development to artists who are working to uplift their communities and advance positive social change. Eligible applicants must be individual Native artists working in dance and choreography, fiction, poetry, writing, film and video, multidisciplinary arts, music, performance art, theater, and screenplay writing, traditional arts, or 2D or 3D visual arts. The LIFT is a monetary award of $10,000 for a proposed project with a required minimum earmarked for the artist's benefit and well-being. Up to 20 artists will be selected to receive LIFT awards. Everyone is encouraged to apply, and those who are shaping their practices for whom the award may serve as a launching point. They encourage artists to apply who are shaping their practices and for whom the award may serve as a launching point for their career. So you can apply for a LIFT award at nativeartsandcultures.org. Again, that's nativeartsandcultures.org. It's a really exciting grant project that's available to pretty much every type of Native artist. And I do believe you have to be an enrolled member of a federally recognized tribe for that grant. But make sure you check it out at nativeartsandcultures.org. Also this year, and this is coming up with a deadline here of January 31st, is the Indigenous Futures Survey. Native peoples are invited to take the survey before January 31st of 2022. This is your chance to make your voice heard in Indian country with this survey. It's going to be gathering your opinion on and perspectives on critical issues that are present in conversations about the future of this country. You can also, at the end of the survey, enter to win one of 12 $100 gift cards for Native-owned businesses. The Indigenous Futures Survey is a multi-year Native-led research project designed to illuminate the authentic experiences, systemic challenges, and priority issues of Native people today. The survey was created by Native organizers and researchers about issues that matter to us. The Native researchers and organizers will analyze the reports and results in ways that make sense to Native people, and the data will be shared across platforms in Indian country. Also, if you're wondering about what happens with your data, it's solely managed by the research team at the Center for Research for Indigenous Social Equity, or RISE, under the University of Michigan, and leadership of one specific person. So keep that in mind when you are taking the survey, that it is definitely something where your information is going to be used and shared in and across Indian country to make change for people. So also the Native American Music Awards are happening right now. You can vote now at namalive.com. That's namalive.com. Tons of amazing Native American musicians who you can go and sample and vote for on the NAMA Live website. It's seriously great. If you're looking for new music, new culturally specific music, that is a great place to do so. And as promised, some updating news on what's going on here with the Line 3 and Enbridge Energy battle in Minnesota. The battle is continuing, as here in Minnesota, we're awaiting news for the appeal of the Army Corps 404 water permits. Currently, there are two federal lawsuits. One was put by Friends of the Headwaters and one by tribes and other parties. We're expecting a decision on these lawsuits at any time, but unfortunately, no timeline has really been given on these cases as of late. Also ongoing right now is Manuman versus DNR at the White Earth Reservation. The White Earth Reservation is bringing the Minnesota DNR into their own tribal court for endangering the rights of wild rice, or Manuman, rights that are upheld by the White Earth Nation and rights that were violated when the Minnesota DNR awarded Enbridge Energy's 5 billion gallon dewatering permit without tribal consultation during the construction of the Line 3 pipeline in 2021 during one of the worst droughts in Minnesota history. Also ongoing in Minnesota are the issues that Enbridge left behind in their haste to complete their two-year project, which they, of course, completed in the short span of only 9 months. The rapid construction caused a ton of issues here. More than 20 frack outs of drilling mud in and around rivers and in delicate wetlands in Minnesota. 3 aquifer breaches that we know of across the state of Minnesota, and over 1,000 arrests of water protectors as they attempted to slow or stop construction until a federal impact statement could be completed or meaningful consultation with tribal nations was even attempted. Of the 3 breached aquifers that we know of, the Minnesota DNR has only released the location and status of one of them, which Enbridge claimed last week to have fixed. The locations and status of the other two are not currently being released to the public by the Minnesota DNR, which is a source of concern. Now Enbridge is going to Wisconsin, to our neighbors next door, with a draft environmental impact statement that leaves just the same types of massive loopholes as they did here in Minnesota. For example, Enbridge is not required to track or record how much drilling mud they use, among other things, meaning that if they do cause another frack out, there's no accountability factor for how much mud they could pump into the earth, water, or aquifers in Wisconsin. So if you are in Wisconsin, make sure you're checking out Stop Line 5, Protect the Water, and figuring out how to get involved to go on live for the DNR public hearing on the federal EIS coming up here on February 2nd. I have shared that link to Native Roots Radio multiple times, and we'll put that link up on our webpage again. Last weekend down in Texas, we have relatives that are also fighting Enbridge. Last week, some 400 Karankawa Kadla people and their supporters organized across Texas to call attention to the expansion plans for another Enbridge oil terminal that's happening in Texas. And this terminal expansion is planned to be constructed on the ancestral settlement of the land of the Karankawa Kadla. And the company, Enbridge Energy, claims that they have, a process for working with people, with Indigenous people. They outline in its Indigenous people's policy this information, a commitment to pursuing sustainable relationships with Indigenous nations and groups in proximity to where Enbridge conducts its business, but there was no communication with Indigenous groups in Texas. I'll have a little bit more on this story for you tomorrow on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thank you all for tuning in. And when you get a minute, make sure that you like and share this broadcast across your social media and take action to protect Mother Earth and our water here in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and elsewhere. Meek Witch, everybody.
Wow. Pini Gigi Ogama for the news. We're going to be right back after this short break. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation,
and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, welcome back. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're waiting for Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith to arrive. And Wendy, you're going to be talking about some sacred animal stuff. Do you want to just give a little preview and then we can talk a little bit of what you're going to talk about?
That would be fantastic. You know, right now we have 5 days left to make your voice heard on the public comment period of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service status review of the gray wolf. So I'll be sharing some information to make it really easy for you to comment and email about that. And I'm looking forward to sharing that.
Speaking of looking forward to, we got Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith here, and we are so happy to have you on again, Jeff. It seems like I just saw you just recently. I don't know. Welcome. Oh, you're muted. Let me unmute, see if I can unmute you. Oh, there you go, Jeff. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, Robert, I am glad that we got a chance to talk last week so that we had this figured out. I'm sorry I'm a few minutes late. I had the wrong link in my calendar, but we figured it out.
No, perfect. Wendy just talked for about 30 seconds. It's perfect. We got 10 minutes with you. I know if you want to talk just briefly, I've been updated on what happened in the Wisconsin Senate about what we were doing down there. And I know you spoke on behalf of Ho-Chunk Nation. Do you want to fill our audience in on what's going on and put it out there on the radar?
I really do, Robert, because this is such a terrible case of politics run amok. And in this, what we're talking about to your listeners is a bill in the Wisconsin legislature, but it's something that is happening all over the country. They call it critical race theory. So that's right away, people know what we're talking about, I guess. Mm-hmm. Although if you asked anyone what that was, even those who are opposed to it wouldn't be able to give you a true explanation of what that means. So what happens is that in this bill, this is real. I'm taking the language out of the bill. This bill would prohibit teaching students and training employees about concepts such as systemic racism and implicit bias. Now, did you get that? They want to ban teaching students and training employees on about concepts such as systemic racism and implicit bias. That, and in the language that we had before us yesterday, it even mentioned they ban teaching anti-racism and anti-sexism. Now, sometimes you wonder if they even read their own stuff and wonder what is happening here. Now, as you and I, Robert, know, we talked last week about this, was that it was brought to my attention, as with you, that there was legal opinion that this would have great impact on Act 31. Which was implemented in Wisconsin back in, I think, 1989.
Yes.
And
yep.
What Act 31 ensure that teaching done in the state of Wisconsin would be more clearly and rightfully teach our children about the history of Native Americans, mm-hmm. and the treatment and thereof, and the treaties, and how we are supposed to live together and work together, and that sort of thing. But
right.
This bill could vastly affect that act, and whether or not we could continue to teach those sorts of things in our schools. Know you're shaking your heads, and I shake my heads, and it's so frustrating, because as I started this, it is just where we're at in this country right now with politics. Mm-hmm. Politics is run amok in the sense that this is a way of getting people fired up with misinformation about something and what this actually is about. And they don't care the damage that it does to certain communities in this country. And this is just one thing, but there's so many other things that are happening in this country right now that are putting us at risk.
Well, Act 31, too, which was brought to my attention, was passed by Tommy Thompson and also a mixed Senate and legislator. I know you guys don't call yourself legislators, but so those were things that the truth that we were bringing when we talked to our Republicans across the table. I mean, it was a different time, right, Jeff?
It was, and we just, but an interesting, you mentioned that, is that yesterday we honored Tommy Thompson. And he was there among us on the floor. We were honoring him with a resolution for his service and talked in great length about how he knew how to work with both sides of the aisle. I mean, there's no doubt that we had our differences and we would argue and fight. And I know John Erpenbach even said something like, of course you were wrong, but we had great discussion as we came to good decisions based on what was the right thing to do for people. And Tommy Thompson got that. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked to him in person, Claire, when he was on the campus, about the need for him to maybe write a handbook for the majority party to follow and how you should be governing.
I want to give you a shout out, because now we're in Milwaukee, Jeff, since last time we've been on. We're in Madison, Milwaukee, and Chicago. And one thing I wanted to mention, too, is that you brought up an amendment to that bill, too. It was shot down, but I just want to say, Peeny Geegee, thank you so much from me that you did that for our nation.
It's the right thing to do, Robert, and also because I'm sure most of the members, even after I brought it up, didn't really understand what I was talking about and don't want to believe that it would harm people. And I still say one thing. They know it's going to be vetoed, and that's the bad thing about politics, too. They know that it's not going to become law, which is good for us. But on the other hand, it's, again, a demonstration that it's only about politics and targeting people.
Is this one of those bills that are sent all over the country the same language and thrown against the wall to see what sticks? Because I know Wendy and I, especially Wendy's been fighting that over animal issues where they have those bills that Republicans put up and send up. Is that one of those bills?
It is. It is. They might have make little tweaks here or there to make it look different, but it's the same thing.
So we have are you coming up for election this year?
I am. This is my year. My four years are up at the end of this year, so I'll be up in November.
So do you have a website working yet that we can get out there and talk about to promote you? Again, we have people all over the country listening to this show, so it'd be great to support you and your great work.
Well, you know, I thanks, Robert. I'm serious. I really appreciate you doing that for me. My website is togetherwithjeff.com, and we just had a really great thing happen in that if you were to Google this, there's a Washington Monthly article that just came out a week or two ago that featured me and how I communicate with rural voters in Wisconsin. And I'm really proud of that because it was really a 2 years in the making of this article, but they followed me and talked to me quite a bit. And we had a lot of great conversations. I didn't know this, it would end up being in an article like this, but I'm really glad it was. And it's a good way. If anyone wants to really know who I am and what I'm about, it really does kind of hit home with the values which I hold.
Well, and I know I've always been excited to have you on because you are one of the authors of a bill that we have had passed here in Minnesota about the MMIW, and that's good enough to have you on for a couple of years on our show and promote your website. Seriously, but you know, keep the fight up on that. You want to talk? We got a minute left. Do you want to just say anything about that?
Yeah, we still feel like we're kind of in the infancy. We're a little bit behind Minnesota, which unfortunately seems to be the case in a lot of things. But same in this case, but we're getting a lot of assistance from what Minnesota has done already and other places around the country. And I've learned a lot. This, to be honest with you, I'm on a lot of committees. It is the MMIW task force and subcommittee that legal subcommittee that I'm on that I never want to miss. It is so empowering for me and for others, and it's pay attention to what happens there.
Yeah, it goes really deep, doesn't it? I mean, and that goes back to race theory and all these things that critical race theory and all those things that are being attacked on us as liberals and right-minded thinking people. I want to just say thank you so much. I got a minute here. We got a person. It's awesome. We have somebody put up your website here, so I got it up there. Togetherwithjeff.com to check them out. And we're here, and we really, really appreciate it. Always goes too fast, but we can't wait to have you on again. Wisconsin State Senator Jeff Smith, thank you again for being on.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Solar Bear Bob Blake from Red Lake. Stay with us. Stay with us, Wendy. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hello, and thank you for purchasing the EasyVac 7, a wonderful invention by Scamco. Just plug it in, boot it up, and get your vaccination right at home for only 9 payments of $9.99.
Don't listen to this idiot. Get your vaccine free and easy at your local clinic. Herd immunity is our best chance of beating this pandemic. #ProtectYourHerd. Brought to you by McGissey Communications and Minnesota Department of Health.
January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and American Indian women in Minnesota are twice as likely to develop cervical cancer. Native Roots Radio is partnering with Minnesota's SAGE Breast and Cervical Cancer Program to talk about cervical cancer. It's a special broadcast live Sunday, January 30th at 6 p.m. on AM 950. Guests will include public health experts within the American Indian community who will share important information about cervical cancer in our Native communities. Listen live on Sunday at 6 p.m. or on Native Roots Radio's Facebook page.
Bonjour, relatives. My name is Deanna Sandycloud. I'm from the Red Lake Nation, and I live in Minneapolis today. As the weather gets colder, you're probably going to spend more time indoors, but it's important to stay safe and healthy. The COVID-19 pandemic is still not over, and now the flu season is upon us. So protect you and your loved ones by getting vaccinated against both the flu and COVID-19. COVID booster shots have now been approved for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. And you're eligible if you're over 65 and if you're over 18 and have underlying health conditions or work in a high-risk setting. What's cool is your booster shot does not need to be of the same brand as your original series of shots. And you can receive a booster shot of any brand that's available to you. Children over the age of 5 are now eligible for a vaccine as well. So let's protect our relatives in Indian country this winter and get vaccinated. Be a vaccinative like me. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. Neekwich Bizendawian.
Hello, Minneapolis. Make sense. Make progress. Make a date. Make an appointment with me. Weeknights from 10 to midnight here on AM 950.
Stay healthy this winter by protecting yourself, your family, and your community from COVID-19. Get a vaccine or booster. COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, and free, and approved for everyone over the age of 5. Wear a mask outdoors in crowds and indoor settings, and lay low or get tested before visiting family and friends or attending events. To get more tips, schedule your vaccine or get tested, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies overnight with a temp rising to about 25, Thursday sunny with a temp dropping to 11, and Friday partly sunny with a high around 10. If your home isn't feeling as warm as it should, there's a good chance your home needs an insulation upgrade, and Snap Construction can help. They're arguably one of the most well-reviewed contractors in the metro. The average insulation job costs much less than getting a new furnace, so call Snap Construction for your free energy audit, 612-333-SNAP.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do there, Wendy, to howl or to, I'm still, you saw me take that deep breath. Right. Hey,
like a deer in headlights, a deer in headlights.
That's right. As everyone knows, we kind of have the pre-record, the intro to the show pre-recorded. So it sounds a little better and I got a good memory, but it's short. But speaking of which, we have Bob Blake and it's Wednesday and we have Solar Bear with the Solar News. And it's always uplifting to see Bob and talk about things. But he also has news that he likes to bring up. Whether it's saving Mother Earth via solar, wind, it's just great news what's happening with his nonprofit and his company and also what's going on all around Turtle Island and the whole world. So welcome, Bob.
Hey, everyone. How's it going, Robert?
Going Wendy, pretty good.
How's the weather out there? I hear there's
sorry, I had to unmute myself. Yeah, the weather out here is better. When I landed yesterday, it was 41 degrees here, so it felt a bit balmy, and I was very happy. It has gotten a little bit colder, but it's still in the 30s, so it still feels warm to me.
So I hear there's a nor'easter
Yes.
Coming your way.
It is. Friday night into Saturday. I had to order boots because I have no boots here. So hopefully they'll be here on Friday before it starts because it's supposed to be really bad. We're supposed to get like 12 inches of snow.
Yeah. This is supposed to be like one of those like day after tomorrow storms.
You know, I know.
That, remember that movie, Robert, back in 2004?
Oh, yeah. Day after tomorrow? They don't open those windows and they're all froze and solid and shattered because of the world was changing. And it happened quick. Not as quick as it's happening now, but it happened pretty darn quick.
Yeah, that was – obviously that was a movie. I mean, that could happen. But this is going to be really interesting to watch because this is supposed to be like, you know – one of those every thousand year storms that happens.
I know. I'm going to go up in the ocean to look at the ocean when it starts because the waves are usually just unbelievable. And I'll take some video and send it out on Facebook so everybody could see it. But yeah, it's going to be pretty scary. I have a flashlight ready and I have like making sure my, you know, phone's all charged up and.
So what everybody doesn't know out there is Native Roots Radio's got our very own reporter Wendy Pilot out in New York to meet the storm and report back what's happening. I mean, Robert, I didn't know you had this in the budget for that.
We got to get her out when the wind's blowing and snowing. Forget being in the condo. Let's go, Wendy.
I will. I'll do it.
You must be selling a lot of ad space now. I mean, I really get some good funders in the door to be taking care of this.
Clean living, Bob.
Oh, too funny. Hey, Robert. So I got a really great story here from the Ute Mountain tribe of Southwest Colorado. And basically, the Ute Mountain tribe was a tribe that was, you know, very... we'll talk about that, Rob. I'll talk about that here in a second. The Ute Mountain tribe, on Southwest Colorado, is turning to solar. And this was a tribe that was doing a lot of fossil fuel extraction, you know, like coal and stuff like that, natural gas. And, they're switching over to renewable energy and to solar. So this is a really cool, a story that's out there. And I suggest everybody take an opportunity to take to check it out because, yeah, this is a perfect example of a tribe switching from fossil fuels, extraction to renewable energy. And they're being successful at it.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, it's always cool that we have this interactive going on. I saw what Rob put up there that you were going to talk about. That's one of the great things that people jumping on Facebook Live and YouTube can interact with our guests.
So Rob just put up on there about a bill that's in Florida right now that is to kill rooftop solar energy. So Rob, in talking about this, this is also happening in California right now. So basically what's happening is the utilities see how popular renewable energy is and see how democratizing it is, you know, for everyone. And what they're trying to do is they're losing market share, everyone. And so they want to basically own the game. They want to be able to hog the board. This is monopoly. And of course, they're the corporations. And so their lobbyists are in Florida. They're in California. And they're trying to kill rooftop solar for regular people like you and I. And I say power to the people and you know, we stop this and tell your politicians, tell your local government that you want rooftop solar and you want to be able to exercise your freedom. So that's exactly what's going on right now, Robert.
Yeah, you know, and they're going to look awfully silly, and I guess Florida really doesn't have a problem with looking silly to the other rest of the country because when everyone else is going to have solar going on and they're not going to, it's going to look pretty silly down there.
Well, you know, they have a great solar industry down there, And these politicians, Citizens United, you know what's happening here, Robert? They're being bought off. You know, these politicians are being, Robert, you're a politician. You're, you know, you're going to get approached by maybe energy companies or that want to say get grand favor with you. This is a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but this is a very, very, possibility in the future. Unfortunately, these politicians forget though that they're there to serve the people and not their own interest.
Well, now that you mention it too, we've been on the Ohio alert too, because tribes have been ripped off by these energy companies, because there is a lot of COVID money out there now.
Which brings me to the next story, Robert. Perfect segue.
Oh my God.
And so this is coming out of Colorado. This is actually coming out of, you know, where they had the Sand Creek Massacre at. This is out there out west again in the Colorado area. But Xcel Energy is not going to put its transmission lines through that area, because that's a very sacred area to the tribe out there. Now, here's the thing, everyone, and this is what everyone needs to understand, especially people, in your respective tribes. This electric system was put together back in the 30s by FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We have Franklin Delano Roosevelt technology that we are currently using in 2022. It's time to turn this technology over now. Right. And in doing so, before they didn't consult with tribes. Now these energy companies are going to have to consult with tribes. You know what I mean? And this is where the real opportunity happens, that tribes can become partners with these electric companies, and they can create their own utilities, which then create opportunities and income for economic development for their communities. You see what I mean?
Absolutely. And I see a little bit too, along with a lot of these, utilities, Bob, they are in control of broadband too. And we see how in rural areas and poor areas that there's no broadband. So that's bad for, education, bad for working at home and all these things. And so the jig is up. People are seeing where all these deficiencies lie.
Absolutely. And I would encourage people to look at Yakima Power and what Yakima Power has been able to do for their community by creating their own tribal utility, by creating their own broadband service, by creating their own cell phone company. And this all happened because they created a tribal utility. Now, everyone, do you understand and see how everything is connected? And then the jobs and the opportunities that can come along with that. So that's where the future lies for tribal nations. And I'm telling you, Robert, the power, we need power. It affects everything in our lives, unfortunately. If now that technology is here that we can go ahead and create it and distribute it in our communities, it's just going to be a really great opportunity for tribal nations in the future.
Wow, that's awesome. We got a couple more minutes here. What else is going on? I'm not going to try and read your mind again and introduce it before you say it. But, yeah, we have been on the same wavelength here the last few months here on what's going on in Turtle Island.
Well, I just want to say that there's this company called Oshkosh Defense introduces the first ever silent drive hybrid electric joint military all-terrain TV. So basically, it's an armored personnel carrier. It's an APC, and it carries soldiers into, you know, battle zones, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this is a hybrid. Now, everyone, I want everyone to understand the United States military is a big carbon emitter. We need to get these guys on board to help save the planet. We're not going to save the planet without the military being on board. So I am against war, Robert. I am against the military industrial complex, okay? Robert, let's just be honest. I'm a lover, not a fighter. But but I got to say, if we can encourage the military to go green, I mean, literally going green with renewable energy, I'm on board with it.
You know, I'm thinking funny things like, you know, solar tanks and Tesla Jeeps. And I don't know. Did I just go in the wrong direction there? But yeah.
Well, I mean, that's national security, Robert. And then this is what last story here, because I think this comes into play, too. But battery breakthrough could finally give us electric planes. I mean, this is huge. If we could quit burning, jet fuel into the atmosphere. I mean, this is huge. So I think this is a really cool story, and I encourage everybody to check it out. It's online.
We used to call those gliders when I was a kid. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks. Thanks so much for stopping in, Bob Blake, with Solar Bear, with the solar news. We really appreciate you so much for stopping in and give us this uplifting look at the future. And future is now, by the way, right? We'll be right back with Wendy with Sacred Animal Sections. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Anna, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm getting my COVID vaccine. If you're between 5 and 11 years old, you can get vaccinated too. Getting the jab might seem a little scary, but there is lots of good reasons to do it. You'll be protected from COVID, and you'll be less likely to spread it to people like family and friends. Have your parents find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and American Indian women in Minnesota are twice as likely to develop cervical cancer. Native Roots Radio is partnering with Minnesota's SAGE Breast and Cervical Cancer Program to talk about cervical cancer. It's a special broadcast live Sunday, January 30th at 6 p.m. on AM 950. Guests will include public health experts within the American Indian community who will share important information about cervical cancer in our Native communities. Listen live on Sunday at 6 p.m. or on Native Roots Radio's Facebook page.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, we did pretty good with just two of us.
We have a good pack. We're a good pack, Robert.
Aw. Miss you, Wendy. Good to see you. Hey, now we're talking our sacred animal section, and we've been doing this for going on 5 years now, Wendy, and it's probably awesome. The most consistent and popular section of our show. Welcome.
I'm so excited to do it. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And as everybody knows, I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, and Curtis goes by Mashge Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. So as always, Curtis, thank you for that meaningful name. I'm a volunteer humane policy leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. And it's really my pleasure to talk about our sacred animals because they are so important to us. And I'm going to be talking about our wolves today, and I have a couple of posts here from our sponsor, Howling for Wolves. And just today, they posted that we only have 5 days remaining to make your voice heard on the public comment period of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service status review of the gray wolf. While the USFWS, which is the Fish and Wildlife Service, has been ambiguous about a hard deadline for comments, comments submitted before January 31st, 2022 have the best chance for consideration. They understand that many folks may have never submitted comments like this before, and for that reason, they have a comment action on relistwolves.org. So if you just Google relistwolves.org, they will provide you insight on both the steps to commenting and tips on how to construct a thoughtful, fact-based comment, and you just send it off. It will go to President Biden. It will go to Deb Haaland, who is the Interior Secretary. So the time to raise your voice for wolves is now. We cannot wait to relist wolves. So we need these animals relisted. I want to just read a post from, again, Howling for Wolves, and they posted this yesterday. It has a lot of really good information and a lot of background information on our wolves. In 1926, the last gray wolf was killed in Yellowstone National Park. By the mid-1900s, gray wolves had been all but eliminated from the lower 48 states. The Endangered Species Act was established in 1973. By 1978, all wolf subspecies were on the endangered list. The protection gave wolves safety to return. And by the early 1990s, 50 to 60 wolves inhabited Montana. Between 1995 and 1997, 41 wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone from Canada and other parts of Montana. More were reintroduced in surrounding areas. Flash forward to 2021, more than 100 wolves lived in Yellowstone and hundreds more in the area surrounding it. The ecosystem benefited as wolves reintroduced. The ecosystem benefited this as wolves reduced the number of elk and changed their grazing patterns, allowing aspen groves to return along the riverbanks. Yellowstone is now one of the largest intact temperate ecosystems on the planet. Once wolves began to thrive, their protected status began to be lifted. Protections were removed and replaced throughout the past two decades. Most recently, the U.S. government removed federal protections from the gray wolf in 2011 in Montana and Idaho, and in Wyoming in 2017. This year, new laws in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming have been put in place, removing nearly all restrictions on hunting wolves, permitting baiting, night hunting, the use of snares, trapping, and bounty payments on kills. Limits on kills have been raised or even eliminated. Although wolves are protected within Yellowstone, the ecosystem guardian can be killed and even baited outside of the park. Yellowstone's Phantom Lake Pack, which had decades of investment of data and research, are now considered eliminated. What happens next for wolves will be determined by whether protections are reinstated. The United States Fish and Wildlife Service has opened up an inquiry to reinstate on an emergency basis. They are taking comments for one more week, Interior Secretary, so you could email her at sec Deb Halland. And she's also taking calls, so you could give her a call as well. And again, I want to say, please go to relistwolves.org, and you could go to the comment section, and you'll get a lot of help on how to make a comment. Howling for Wolves also posted on January 20th, since January 1st, 2021, at least 1,000 of the once estimated 6,000 wolves in the United States have been slaughtered, including over 200 wolves in Montana, 500 wolves in Idaho, and 200 wolves in Wisconsin, among others. To date, bipartisan representation from both the House and the Senate, tribal leaders representing over 200 tribes, Montana and Yellowstone-based business owners, countless conservation groups, and scientists have all sent letters to Secretary Halland and the Department of Interior to enact an emergency relisting of these precious and sacred animals. These calls remain unanswered. Again, the time to hashtag stop the hunt is now. The Fish and Wildlife Service and the Department of Interior cannot run down the clock on the hunting seasons before enacting an emergency relisting, or there will be no wolves left to relist. Please join our efforts at hashtag relistwolves by sharing. Share. You could go on their it's really important to share their information, so you could share their post, and please visit relistwolves.org to make your voice heard today. This is really something, Robert, we really need to, we're running out of time. I know that I want to have wolves in our future and for future generations. I would hate for there be a world that have no wolves in it. I think it would be really, really sad. So my comment and my emails are off to Deb Halland and to President Biden. And if as many people can send those comments, is the better.
Yeah, absolutely. We do need to, and Deb Halland should know and does know that these wolves are our relatives. And and we always talk about this, is that in many tribes, they have clans, and most clan or most tribes that have clans have the wolf clan in there, like our Lieutenant Governor Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Peggy Flanagan has talked about being in the wolf clan and how she deeply feels that when wolves are murdered like that, it's like killing a family member. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really disheartening, and I'm really hoping that something will be done to relist these wolves.
Well, you're doing great work getting the word out there, and I appreciate you and that. Thank you so much for your segment and you talking about these things that are a lot of times that are difficult to talk about, Wendy. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated.